In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Today, the Gospel of St. Matthew speaks of a people who had been sitting in darkness. And these people saw a great light. These are the people who were in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. In other words, these were Gentile people. They were some of the first people. There were Jews that were living there one time, the Israelite people, the chosen people. And when the Assyrians came through and conquered the land, these were some of the first to experience that suffering. But over time, it became known as the land of the Gentiles, beyond the Jordan, or beyond, going to the sea, meaning to the Mediterranean Sea. What's the point that St. Matthew is trying to make in this chapter 4 of his? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came to illuminate all peoples, not just the Jews. He came to enlighten all peoples because our Lord took on a human nature. The human nature that every single human being has. And therefore the Lord came to save all people. Today, January 14th, happens to be a Sunday, but every January 14th of every year marks the leave-taking of Theophany. Leave-taking of Theophany. Since December 25th, the Church, through her liturgies, has sought to awaken in us the great wonder, that God became man. At this time of the year, the darkest days of the entire year, the eternal light illuminates the entire cosmos. Yes, the entire cosmos. We see even in the celestial spheres, this star illuminates the sky. The cave is involved. So this is the entire cosmos being affected by the light of God. And now on this leave-taking, the Lord proclaims his first words, his first public words, his first sermon. Repent. Or as I've talked about for the last 3 years, that word repentance, metanote, a command. Metanote is the actual Greek word. Be converted. Why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The light has illuminated the world. In other words, you and I, who were in darkness, have experienced the divine light. What will you do with this light? How will you treat this divine light that we've been proclaiming and celebrating and adoring for the last 12 plus days, I guess about 20 days now? Will you let this light shine in the dark places of your home and in your families? Will you let this light shine in your communities? Will you let this light shine in society? In other words, will you feed the hungry person? Will you clothe the naked person? Will you give shelter to that homeless person? Will you comfort that person who's sorrowful? Will you forgive those people who have injured you and etc.? And we go beyond that to the even more important work. Will you let the light of Christ illuminate the darkness that's hidden away in your own heart? and in your mind. What the Greeks call and what the scriptures call the nous. The nous. Because as we read in the scriptures, and we especially read in St. Paul and St. James, and the Lord himself said it, it's out of the nous that come all evil thoughts and acts. The well-known psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Carl Jung once wrote these very words, quote, "What if I should discover that the poorest of the beggars and the most impudent of sinners, offenders, are all within me? And that I stand in need of the alms of my own kindness. That I myself am the enemy who must be loved. What then?" End of quote. Indeed, what then? Are we able to recognize and to name the beggars and the offenders that are within our own hearts, are within our own minds, with our own nous? And are we able to show them compassion? Do we tend to our own sufferings and allow them to be transformed by the very divine light from on high, taking sorrows deep in our hearts into joy, taking those pains that we stuff down in our hearts deep, allow the light of Christ to shine on them, bringing them from death into life? My brothers and sisters, when we read the church fathers, the most difficult work of all is not to bring peace on earth and to stop wars among countries and to bring into civil strife in society. The most difficult work in all the world is the healing of one's own heart. Because every war and every act of violence and every sense of division stems from something's wrong in my own heart. What do we do so well in the United States? We fill our lives with a lot of busyness. We fill our lives with a lot of noise. And what does all this busyness and noise do? It stifles. It stifles the cry of the heart. It stifles, it drowns out the pain of the heart. It drowns out what St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, the groanings of the Holy Spirit, which we hear if we're tuned to our hearts. We fill our lives, let's be honest, with a lot of entertainment, constant entertainment. We fill our lives with work. We fill our lives with constant shopping. It's easy, it's accessible. One push of the button. We fill ourselves with constant use of technology. Let's be honest, a lot of this constant use of technology and entertainment is wasting time and killing time. We're just passing time. We browse from internet site to internet site, and have we really accomplished anything great after 30 minutes or an hour of just perusing the internet? Or we go from playing games after playing games on the computer, just passing time. Or we fill it up with alcohol. We fill it with drugs, medicating drugs, legal or illegal. And we fill it with the desires of the flesh. Nonetheless, when we do find ourselves sometimes alone, immersed in some real quiet, in those moments, you will begin to hear the beggars and the offenders in the heart. And what we often hear and feel in the heart scares us, frightens us. And then we think, well, maybe death will finally end that silence. Isn't that ultimately what a person who seeks suicide is trying to do? Just finally silence the pain that they're feeling in their heart? But it doesn't. These beggars and offenders, because they're in the heart, they're taken into eternity, where there's nothing left. Nothing. But the beautiful and peaceful, the silence of God. There'll be no more internet, no more alcohol, no more sex, no more games to try to silence the voice of God. In the end, the neediness and the wounds of our hearts will be healed. They will be healed, either now or in eternity. Because the light of the world has shone in the land overshadowed by death. And my friends, that land is not some physical place. That land is the human heart. That's what the Lord came to heal. He came to heal the noose. In today's gospel passage, the light of the world proclaimed his first sermon, metanoia. Be converted. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Greek word metanoia too often, is translated as repentance. And too often people reduce repentance to a superficial understanding. A superficial understanding. Sit down, you make a list of your sins, and you go confess them to God, you go confess them to the priest. While that is an aspect of repentance, an aspect, metanoia, the act of metanoia, what the Lord says today in the gospel, what he's calling you and me to, is something far more profound, far more profound. The root problem of sin, the root, the rotics, going to the very core, is to think that the kingdom of God is somewhere out there, off in some far distant place. And too many baptized persons have bought the lie, that heaven is waiting for them in some future time. That's not what Christ said. The kingdom of heaven is now. And it's at hand now. Not tomorrow, not when I die, not some distant future aeon age. That only makes people think, well, I can live half in and half out of the kingdom of God now. I can kind of be in and out with God. Or worse, I could convert tomorrow, I could convert on my deathbed, because heaven's later. Wrong. The kingdom of heaven is not tomorrow. The kingdom of heaven is not down the road when I die. The kingdom of heaven is now, and it's always today. The kingdom of heaven is an eternal presence. An eternal presence. What is the wonder? What's the wonder that we've been celebrating since December 25th? The wonder of Christmas, the wonder of Theophany. What is it? The revelation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what it is. The revelation of heaven on earth. The revelation of Emmanuel. God is with us. Now, at this very moment, it's the very revelation of the communion of God with his cosmos. Where God is, there is the kingdom, and God is everywhere. Metanoia, repentance. It's a changing of the way my mind sees. Believing that God is present now. The kingdom is less about a place and more about a presence. It's the conviction that God is everywhere and that his divine light is piercing and illuminating every nook and cranny of darkness in the entire cosmos, reaching down to the very depths of my heart, my consciousness, and my unconsciousness. Christ is among us.